Good morning and welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I'm Amy Otto, joined by Lee Cantor. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Miss Amy. How are you doing today?
Good. Although I almost had to swim to the station this morning.
A little rainy, huh?
Very rainy.
How's that? That's good for your yard, I bet.
Good for my yard. Good for my garden. This is my first year with a garden.
Vegetables,
herbs, yeah. I'm trying my hand at
Eat
the
local.
Green thumb. Exactly.
Nice.
Yes, that and the chickens I'm about to buy.
Actually, you know, because you went to Kansas, so you're bringing the farm back with you.
You think it's funny. Actually, I know what I'm getting for Mother's Day. I'm getting two hens.
Really?
Buff Orrington hens.
Your neighbors are okay with that?
Don't tell my neighbors.
You got the zoning? Well, nope. Now your friends in Dunwoody pull some strings now, right?
Yeah, we're zoned for that. We have a great show this morning, Lee. And, you know, when you talk about things being local, you talk about saving money. I'm going to save money by eating my herbs and my vegetables, I'm sure. But I could also save money and have money go towards my health savings account, which is a really cool idea. And I'm so thrilled this morning we have with us Sanders McConnell. And he is going to tell us all about MyHSA Rewards. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show.
Thanks for having me, Amy.
So, Sanders, tell us, MyHSA Rewards, you're the president of the company. How'd you get started? Tell us all about it.
Well, thanks. Thanks again. So I actually came up with the idea about 8 years ago when I was working with a couple of other individuals taking wellness programs into corporations. And that's when FSAs were out using the debit cards. And I was wondering how we can help individuals pay for their health care just from their everyday expenses, because I learned of another program that helps individuals save for 529 college savings accounts. And when HSAs came out in 2003, I followed the growth of them and realized that that was a good vehicle in which to put a rewards program and direct cash to an HSA through a rewards program.
Can you talk a little bit about what an HSA is first before we get into why we would need a rewards program for our HSA?
Sure. First, a health savings account, you can think of it as a health IRA. The money that you contribute to it is tax deductible. The money that grows in it is tax-free and withdrawn tax-free if used for eligible medical expenses. And in order to qualify to have an HSA, you first have to have a high deductible health plan, which typically lowers your monthly premium. So you take the savings of your premiums and then deposit into your health savings account.
That was very well stated. However, if people want to know more about HSAs, you have a great website. Can you give folks that address?
Sure, absolutely. It's HSAeducator.com.
And I really encourage our listeners to go to the website, because there is a lot to know. And while Sanders did a really good job kind of summarizing it, there are a lot of details involved as well. Okay, so an HSA, people are hearing more and more about it in the benefits world. How have you turned that around to help folks with their everyday spending?
Well, once again, it's a tool to for an individual to take advantage of to help put more money into their health savings account. So, for example, you can go, once you become a member, you go to our website and you shop with one of our over 300 merchants, and they will all provide a cash reward back to your health savings account.
And how much does it cost to be a member, Sanders?
It's free.
It's free. It's totally free.
Totally free for you. It's also for your employers to provide out to their employees. It's free for them as well.
It's such a win-win. So, wow, that's amazing. So tell us some of the vendors and some of the folks that are participating. So if I go shopping, for instance, where can I use my HSA card to get some points back on my HSA account?
So currently all of our merchants are online, and so we have everybody from Sears to Lands' End to Brookstones to Barnes & Noble. We have the top 300 online merchants, but we are fast adding more and more merchants every day, a lot of direct ones as well as in-store merchants.
I'm not understanding. So I get an HSA. So I put in how much typically do you put in an HSA annually?
It's up to you. Uh-huh. How much you put in. Your
is
employer
there a limit?
Can all, there is a limit to for a family, it's $5,950.
Uh-huh.
For an individual, it's $3,000.
So if I put in the whole whatever $6,000 in, does that give me reward points for doing that?
No. We live outside of the health savings account, so we're actually contributing to the HSA for you. So if the first year you actually max out your contribution, then you can save up your rewards that you earn through our program and then deposit for the next year, which means you wouldn't have to put in as much yourself.
So, for instance, Lee, if, like, you have little reward cards, I mean, your son might have one for school with the
right.
U Promise. Okay,
sure.
So when you use that, say, you know, 10% or 5% or 3% or whatever of what you've bought goes into that account. How cool is that?
The things I normally buy, I'm just getting a credit into my HSA.
That's
exactly.
right. Exactly.
Exactly. Isn't that pretty
good?
Got
it now. See?
Yeah. It's a win-win, too, and it doesn't cost you anything.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I just sign up my cards, or I sign up through you?
That'll be one way of doing it. You can also register, you know, say when we get grocery stores and mm-hmm. they all have their key fobs, you can register that with us when we have them on board. We will also be offering a credit card down the road as well.
Oh, so it makes it just very simple.
Very simple.
So every time I use it, then I'm getting a little bit of a few dollars back into my HSA account.
That's right. And we will, just so you know, we are focused on bringing wellness companies into our fold to help people live a healthier lifestyle. So we actually will reward people to live a healthier lifestyle. And many employers are now implementing wellness programs inside the employer's site. We kind of add on top of that, so we take it outside into their regular life.
So, for instance, folks would get more points if they shopped in the produce aisle as opposed to the chip aisle?
That's exactly right. That's our focus.
And do you lose points, like if you shop at McDonald's?
I don't think those kind of companies would be on there.
Yeah, we may not be doing that one.
So it sounds like a lot of the providers right now are online. Do you have plans to go with other, like, grocery stores and folks like that?
Absolutely. They are our targeted audience when it comes to merchants.
Okay, so you talk about these merchants. I mean, gosh, this program is so in-depth. How in the world did you come up with the expertise to formulate it? I mean, you have a healthcare background yourself. Do you have partners in the business?
I do have some partners in the business. Once again, I do have a healthcare background. My partner, my day-to-day partner, is Rob Grady, and he ran the Delta SkyMiles Partnership Program globally for 12 years. And so we do have the expertise to make this run.
I would imagine Delta Airlines, reward points. I think he probably has a pretty good background, huh?
He does have good background. He's excellent.
How long has the company been around?
We've been around actually developing this for 2 years. We just launched the website quietly about a month ago, but you're getting ready to start seeing some splash out there.
Wow.
You looking for more merchants, or are you looking for individuals, or both?
Both. We are looking for both.
So if any of our listeners right now don't know much about an HSA, I'd probably recommend they first start by getting educated at your website. And then what is the website they can go to sign up for the HSA rewards?
It's myhsarewards.com.
Lee, I know, it's so simple. And it is a simple concept, and it's a win-win. And you look at the list of merchants online, and it's incredible. I don't know that I found any of them on there that I don't shop at. You know, iTunes is on there.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Target? Didn't I see Target?
Target's on there. Even Walmart's on there.
That's amazing. So where do you see your company in 5 years?
In 5 years, my goal is to have an impact on a million people's lives and helping them pay for their health care. So that's my objective personally, is to have a million people using our product and helping them pay for their health care expenses.
And you think an HSA, that's a no-brainer, that everybody should have one?
Absolutely. Now, I will tell you that it's not for everybody. It is for most people, though.
And when you say it's not for everybody, people really do need to get educated as to whether it's for them.
Well, it's not for everybody, those who are critically ill. It's just hard to save enough money in there. You need to be covered by some other insurances.
Did you have any experiences that really led you or drove you to start this company?
Yeah, personally, I have a personal experience where my mother passed away in 1999, and I took control of my father, who had Alzheimer's, and as well as my mom's sister. She also had dementia, and so consequently, I took care of them for 7 years, and I watched their savings just dwindle to almost nothing. And so I have a real passion to helping people save for their retirement and to help take care of them in their long-term care years.
Wow, that's compelling. If you know firsthand, I'm sure there's a lot of passion behind what you do.
Yeah, there's...
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for being with us today. We hope folks will reach out and join the MyHSA Rewards Program. It's a win-win. Gosh, why would someone not do it, right, Lee?
Can you sign up for an HSA on the website, or that's really not what you do?
That's a great question. When you register on our site, you have the option of entering your existing health savings account, So we don't care where you have your HSA, right. We will send the rewards. Or if you don't have one, we will offer up one of our banking partners, which we're getting ready to soon announce.
Right.
Terrific. Thanks so much for being with us today. We really hope our listeners will reach out and check you out.
Thank you for having me.
Next up, Lee, you know, another subject near and dear to my heart. You have a son and I have children. And when it comes to our kids, gosh, you always want the best for your kids, right?
Pretty much.
Well, come on. You always want the best for your kids, and your son's incredible. So I'm sure you've always kept his interests in mind and in his education especially. Next up, we have Neil Gass and Scott Sutton from Sunbrook. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show.
Good morning.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Sunbrook. Gosh, great name. Tell us what it is.
Well, Sunbrook Academy is a provider for high-quality early educational child care throughout the metro Atlanta area. We focus on children anywhere from 6 weeks of age to 12 years. We have private kindergarten programs and a lot of our programs, but really that's our primary core is focusing on early childhood care and education.
Is it aftercare?
We do provide before and after care for school-age children. We pick up and drop off at the local schools in the mornings and afternoons.
So it sounds like it says there's 75 years of combined experience in early childhood education. The two of you combined aren't even 75 years of age. So tell us, how did the company start? Is it a family-owned business? I understand it's a franchise. So
that's
walk us through that.
We actually are a family-owned business. Ironically, I married into the business about 15 years ago, and for the last 15 years, I've been working with my wife, my mother-in-law, and my grandmother-in-law, as well as a fourth business partner. My mother-in-law and her business partner, Janice, they started in the early 80s building their own child care centers throughout the area.
Was it a franchise or was it an individual?
At that time, it was just basically company-owned units. They both had real estate backgrounds and experience. Janice was actually a child care center broker, buying and selling for large national chains. They kind of put their heads together and decided they could do this as an ongoing venture.
Mm-hmm.
So we provided a turnkey consulting package for probably the first 10 years or so of the company's existence. We built about 25-some-odd schools through the metro Atlanta area that are now all independently owned and operated outside of our company.
So it is a franchise. How long has it been a franchise?
We switched over into franchising right at the end of 1999, early 2000. We opened our first franchise school. And since then, we have continued to build on that slowly and steadily over the years.
Scott, that sounds like it might be your piece of the pie, right?
It is, and an exciting piece of the pie. I think from a very basic standpoint, you guys mentioned it earlier, but I, too, am a parent. My wife, Linda, and I have two great kids, a daughter who's 12 and a son who is 5, and our son, Cooper, was actually a student at the Sunbrook Academy at Stilesboro. The owner there is Mary Ross. And having moved around from town to town, and we've been in a number of major metropolitan areas over the years, and we've experienced a lot of different types and brands of childcare. And I got to tell you that the educational opportunities that Cooper received at the Stilesboro School at Sunbrook was compelling and certainly was better than the rest. So as a career franchise management executive, it's been fun to be a part of the team to help grow the brand now that we have really a compelling history, a compelling brand advantage, and opportunities for growth here in Atlanta and hopefully outside of Atlanta as we continue our growth strategy. So that's exciting for me.
Do you have some sort of educational unique selling point that differentiates you from all the others?
We do, and I think that's part of when you look at our core focus. The strategy at Sunbrook is really a core focus strategy, which is to look at what do we do best, and we like to do those things better than everybody else. And when we say everybody else, we're talking about our competitors out in the educational preschool child care markets. So those core areas really start with our Foundations Learning Program and our educational system that's implemented in each academy. The second piece to that from a franchise perspective is the support, the service, the trending, and really the hands-on help that we provide to each franchisee as they're operating their independent business. I'd love for Neil to dig into the curriculum because I think that is a significant advantage for parents. And as you might imagine, a prospective parent coming in and touring a Sunbrook Academy, certainly that's something that's going to be near and dear to their hearts for their children to receive a compelling education.
So, Neil, tell us about the curriculum. How is it selected? And it obviously then is uniform throughout the franchises, correct?
Yes, absolutely. The curriculum is based on a variety of research that's been done throughout the field. The entire field of early childhood education is actually kind of improved and changed dramatically even over the last 15, 20 years. It used to be enough that if you were providing safe, warm care and a good meal for a child, that was considered quality child care. A lot of the early brain research that has been done in recent years has really demonstrated these are the critical developmental years in a child's life. They've discovered that by the time a child is age 3, over 75% of their brain has been formed and is continuing to make these neural connections. So it's these early years, really through 3 and 4 years old, that will determine physically in a child's brain their capacity for learning for the rest of their life. So our focus then becomes, how do we develop the child as a whole? We do have certainly academic components and are very focused on that, but it also becomes the child as a whole socially, mentally, physically, emotionally, all the aspects, the whole child, as it were, and our programs are designed to focus not just on the academics, but on the entire child in early development.
Are most of the children in your facility, are they younger than school age, or do you get most of your business from school age kids that are coming after school?
No, the vast majority of our students would be from early infants up through the pre-K 4-year-old children.
What are you doing to embrace technology? I understand you have computer labs in some of your centers as well.
We do. We have implemented, a couple of computer labs in each one of our centers. Children can have some hands-on technology instruction that way. The teachers have access to a variety of resources that they can use. We're in the process of also developing parent resources as well that they can hopefully begin to access as well, which is kind of a big piece for us as well as educating the parents on what true quality early education really is.
Tell us about the TLC room. That caught my eye because as a working mother, it's always so tricky when your child has a runny nose. It's like you really can't stay at home with them all the time. What's a TLC room?
Well, it's a particularly relevant topic, I guess, now given the nature of the H1N1 virus spreading. But safety and health is a major significant component of what we do. We'll have the Purell waterless hand washing stations all throughout the school. You'll find them in the hallways as well as the classrooms. Same with tissues. Toys are disinfected and sanitized routinely throughout the day. There's very careful diapering and cleaning procedures that go on. But in addition to that, we have our TLC room. If a child becomes ill or needs a little time away from the classroom, they're not feeling well, we'll bring them out. We have a separate room right there at the front desk where they're constantly being observed by the management up front. They can rest there, relax a little bit until mom or dad is able to come and pick them up. That way they're isolated, they're removed from the classroom to hopefully minimize the spread of any germs.
That's good, definitely. Now, when you talk about a franchise, it seems like a fairly affordable franchise to buy into. When I was looking at the material you sent me, talk a little bit about why someone would want to invest in an early childhood education franchise. I mean, it might not be... Oftentimes people invest in franchise because it's their passion or it's their hobby, but tell us why someone would want to invest in your concept.
Yeah, motive is a big part of our recruitment process as well, which is to say, hey, you know, we want to make sure that folks that are interested in the concept certainly have the right motives and the right interest to become a part of the brand. So that's a big piece of our process. But, you know, when you look across the landscape and the investment, and there are lifestyle benefits as well to the industry. I mean, when you really think about it from an investment standpoint, the industry is about relationships. It's a business that's open Monday to Friday. Generally, it's about 12 hours a day. There's no cash or inventory to deal with or reconcile on a daily basis. It's really developing the relationships with the parents, with the communities, with the staff members, and delivering a quality education to students. You know, I've often said that you can think about, you know, financial rewards and things along those lines, but I'm not sure there is a single financial reward that would rival the joy that an owner, that is an academy owner, would feel watching that infant that enrolled in that school 5 years ago walk across the stage as a 4K graduate and getting ready to go to kindergarten. That is the type of reward that certainly every Sunbrook Academy owner feels at this time every year as their 4K class graduates and moves on into elementary school.
Now, do you get a lot of franchise owners that had kids or have kids inside the franchise?
Yeah, a lot of our growth is organic. So when you look at it, folks that have touched the brand, it may be a parent that's got a child in that academy. It may be a grandparent, could be a family friend or somebody that has had some contact with the brand and really seen what goes on inside the building, the joy, the learning that takes place, and they become a prospect then and want to bring one of the academies to their neighborhood.
So you have 8 academies currently, correct?
We do.
Tell us a little bit about your projections for growth.
You know, we've established a very methodical, calculated growth plan, specifically here for Atlanta right out of the gate. We want to make sure, again, that we're growing in the right way. One of the focuses of our core is franchisee support. We're in each academy monthly. We evaluate numbers and trends on a weekly basis. We don't want to lose that. So we want to make sure that we have the right support mechanisms in place to support that growth. So we're looking at about 5 franchise awards that we want to take on for the rest of this year, and then we'll migrate that up probably next year to about 10.
And are you looking to branch in other states?
We are. We're going to look at the Southeast after we are finished, if you will, with the Atlanta metropolitan area. And again, looking at those companion Southeast states, certainly there are opportunities in every single major metropolitan area in places like Florida, South Carolina, North Carolina, Tennessee, Alabama. So a lot of those areas obviously provide some support opportunities for us, and we're excited to move into those states after we're finished with the Atlanta metropolitan area.
Terrific. Y'all, thanks so much for sharing with us today. And if our listeners are curious and want a Sunbrook education for their child or would like to check out your franchising opportunities, how can they do that? Do you have a website?
We do, and we'd love for them to check out sunbrookfranchise.com. And certainly if they want to find out more about the programming, the educational philosophies, they can go to sunbrookacademy.com.
Terrific. Any final thoughts? No.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you having us.
Y'all, thanks so much for sharing with us today, because we have listeners of all ages. We have entrepreneurs. We have a lot of folks that are dabbling and thinking about buying franchises. So we really hope that they'll look at Sunbrook. Thanks so much for being with us today. Lee, I'll tell you, the next guest, I was really happy when he didn't cancel, because sometimes our guests cancel when the market gets bad.
Or they get a little nervous.
And, I mean, I am so impressed. This morning we have with us Steve Cook, who's the president and CEO of his company, America's Discount Home Loans. And, you know, he's a big boy. He's definitely out there, and I've heard a lot of positive things about Steve from listeners. He was nominated by a listener, and definitely a topic our listeners are very curious about. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show, Steve.
Well, thanks so much for having me, Amy, and I appreciate what you and Lee are doing for Atlanta businesses. You know, it's great to see, and it's a great opportunity for all of us.
All right.
So thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for being with us. The big question is rates. How are they currently when you're talking about history and historically speaking, how are rates now?
You know, you hear a lot of innuendos and going back and forth and jargon. The reality is rates are at historic lows. They haven't been where they're at now in the last 50 years. And currently right now you can get a 4.5% to 5% interest rate. And, you know, so people sitting on the fence, and it's very common in the industry with the public, Amy, as you'll hear people say, well, I'm still thinking about it, I'm on the fence, I'm going to see what happens. And the reality is that it's never been a better time to refinance or purchase right now. And you hear that a lot, but there's so many factors that, you know, have quantitative proof as to why it's the right time.
So America's Discount Home Loans is the fifth largest lender in Georgia and has been for the last 2 years running. Tell us, how have you been able to develop this and create your company to be so strong?
I'd like to take credit, Amy, but the reality is, you know, I have a lot of good people around me, and I'm definitely the smartest person around our conference room table, you know, but I have a lot of people that are very, very smart. And the reality is, when I used to be a vice president for Countrywide Home Loans, and I ran the 9 southeastern states, so it got to a point, you know, when a homeowner goes to their local bank, they're going to get what the bank perceives as a competitive deal from that institution. When you come to a company like America's Discount Home Loans, we search the top 80 lenders in America to provide every homeowner with the lowest rates and fees that the entire industry has to offer. So versus going into your bank, you'll get the best like Bank of America might have. Versus coming with us, we'll search all the lenders out there and get back to you and your family and say, this is the top 3 takers in the whole industry.
Now, you get your clients from all over the country then?
Yeah, we're licensed in 11 states, but 78% of our business is done in Georgia.
So the big question is, now a good time to buy a home and why?
100% is, I mean, it's a great question. If you look at, there's something that, you know, no one usually talks about on the radio or in the media or in the newspapers, and it's the affordability index. And you never even hear that phrase. And the affordability index is very, very simple. It is what can the median household income afford when it comes to the median home. Right now, not to get too, you know, invasive in this, but the reality is the index right now is 166%. That means that the typical home has the income, 166% of the income that is required to buy the average home in America. So that's the highest that it's ever been. So when you look at what can the average household afford, it's at 166% above what the average home price is. So that coupled with, you know, there's, I don't know if you've been apprised of the income tax credit. It's a new program out there, you know, because what's going on in the industry right now is that, you know, the government's had to step in and to do so many things to offset what's going on in the housing and the financial sectors. And there's so many programs that the consumer, the homeowner, just has to know about to take advantage of. And it's real straightforward. There's an $8,000 income tax credit. So if you are a first-time home buyer and you buy a home in 2009, you cannot have owned a home in the last 3 years. And it's that simple. If you haven't owned a home in the last 3 years, and let's say you were getting back $1,000 on your income tax return. Well, if you bought a home in 2009, you're now going to get $9,000 back on your income tax. It is that simple. There's no questions asked. You provide your HUD to your accountant, and they'll be able to take care of that for you.
Now, are you finding more people are refinancing now, or are you getting those new home buyers right now?
Yes, it's still, you know, probably truly about 80-20. It's still 80% refinances. And, you know, every lender on the planet is busier than they've ever been. We're coming off, you know, four straight record months like every lender is, you know, so that has resulted in slower turn times across the industry. But yes, it's everyone's refinancing right now.
Is it because new homeowners, they don't have the credit to get the loans? Is that the problem, or are they just being hesitant to pull the trigger?
Definitely, because if you don't have any equity, aren't you kind of...
Right, and that's a great question I want to allude to with you guys. The reality is, if right now the main reason why people aren't buying because they can't sell their current property at a price that is, you know, acceptable to them and their finances. So
right, but I'm saying a new homeowner that's maybe living in an apartment where, you know, is it that they don't have the credit or they don't have the down payment?
It's a good question. What it is, it's about education, right? You know, these programs are so new that the government just put in place, the Obama administration, they just put that in place along with the $8,000 tax credit. There's a neighborhood stabilization program. So once these programs get out there and on shows like this one and people start hearing more about it, they're on a steady rise. Purchases are on a steady rise right now. And if I can just allude to the neighborhood stabilization program, it's an amazing Georgia-only program where if you're a first-time home buyer, you will get a $14,000 forgivable second mortgage, meaning you can use this $14,000 for down payment, closing costs, repairs to the home, and it's forgivable, completely forgivable at the fifth year of the loan. It just drops off.
And it's just specific to Georgia?
Yes. It's through the Georgia Dream Program.
And that's a new home buyer?
Yes, new homeowners only.
So the new homeowner gets that, and then they get the $8,000 credit too?
Yeah, if you qualify, you can get everything all in one. If you are a new home buyer, you're getting the $8,000 tax credit automatically.
Right, but you can get the second one also if you qualify?
Yes, if you qualify.
So wow, how much money, amazing. Yeah, I mean, it is amazing, but how much money does someone typically have to be able to buy a home?
You know, it ranges, it's very much contingent on, obviously, your profile, your credit score, and your income, and the market that you're in. The neighborhood stabilization program, zero money down. You hear about the HUD $100 down program. You know, if you're buying a HUD foreclosed, a government-owned property that has been foreclosed on, $100 down gets you in the program. But typically, for the standard conventional borrower, you're looking at 5 to 10% down right now.
Wow.
So it hasn't gone back to the 20% down?
No. You know, what's happened, Lee, is the credit scoring parameters. You know, there's never been a time in the industry, and I've been doing this for 12 years, there's never been a time in the industry where a credit score was so important, and there is a standard threshold in credit scores. You know, a couple years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, a 680 credit score was considered phenomenal, perfect, and you qualified for pretty much everything out there. Where we're at now is 720. To get the best conventional products in the market, you need a 720 credit score. FHA, however, which is the predominant loans being done in America right now, is a 620. So still a 620, you know, as far as credit scoring goes, 720 above is phenomenal. 680 is decent. When you're in the lower 600s, you have some delinquencies and some late reports and some different judgments reporting to your credit bureau. So there's still phenomenal deals out there for people with a 620 credit score.
So your advice for anybody, if you're in an apartment and you're paying $1,000 a month for an apartment,
Call today, without question.
It's a no-brainer, right?
Absolutely. It'll be next to no money out of your pocket. With rates, when you look, and what everybody has to understand about how rates work, because there's so much miscommunication, misconception on rates, the reality is when the economy is rolling, and like you see the stock market rebounding, well, rates have been on a steady rise for the last 2 weeks, because it's real simple. Rates are the predominant influencers of mortgage rates are the long-term treasury yields. And when the treasuries are going up, then you, when you have the stock market rising, what you have is people feel more secure with getting back into the market. So they pull their money out of their long-term investments, put it back into short-term investments in the market. Therefore, it's an inverted curve. Rates go up. So whenever you see the economy rebounding, rates will automatically go up. They're in direct relation to one another.
So it's time to make that move to the house.
Absolutely.
And can you let us know here, how do loan modifications work?
You know, that one is probably, everyone that's in the lending world, and for most homeowners, that's probably the biggest tagline thrown around these days, loan modifications. And I'm very glad you brought it up, Amy. And the reality is people think they can just call the lender and get a loan modification. What a loan modification is specifically is if you are in a hardship and you have to be able to demonstrate and prove to your current lender that you can no longer afford the home through either a demotion, you got terminated, there was a layoff, you're in an area where you're totally upside down in your home. You have to be able to demonstrate you no longer can afford your mortgage payment. When you do that, the lender then may work on renegotiating your loan terms and giving you a lower interest rate. And it does happen. But what's going on in the public right now, Amy, is everyone out there thinks, well, I'm not going to refinance. I'm going to go ahead and do a loan mod. But the strict and the very simple, straightforward answer is, and the requirement is, if you qualify for a refinance, you do not qualify for a loan modification. But you have all these companies on the radio and on TV saying, call us today for a loan mod. They have nothing to do with it. You know, they have to go through a lender first. And if lender can qualify you for a refinance, you get no loan modification.
Is there a rule of thumb of when's the right time to refinance? Like if your rate is X, like, and the new rate is, you know, X minus 1%, is that a time? Like, is there?
This is not your guy's first rodeo, is it? You have a lot of good questions. The standard is when you can look at, you know, the time it will take you to pay back your closing cost. You know, if you're in a 2 to 3 year window and there's so many variables, Lee, but if you can drop your rate by a half of a percent. So right now the threshold is anyone out there listening that's in a 5.5% or higher should call immediately to take advantage of these, you know, 4.5 to 5%.
How many years on their loan would they need to have where it makes sense?
You know, again, that really has nothing to do with it. It's about what their savings is and what their goals are. If you, and to be real honest with you, if you plan on upgrading or downgrading or moving maybe in the next couple of years, then I wouldn't refinance or purchase right now, obviously. But if you're in a home that you see your family in for the next few years, it absolutely, if you're in a 5.5 or above, you should call and do a refinance immediately. Because what people have to understand too, the listeners, is the federal funds rate, not to get too into all this, but the federal funds rate is less than a quarter of a percent. And that is the rate at which banks lend money to each other. It's never been lower, and it can never go lower. So someone could argue, well, what if it goes to, you know, 0.01? You know, but that's not going to happen. So the reality is where rates are right now, everyone has to understand they can only go up, and they will go up as they are in the last 2 weeks.
You said something earlier about when rates go up, it's a sign that the economy is actually getting better. Can you give us, have you seen any other signs at all that we might be on the road to recovery as far as the housing sector is concerned?
You know, when you look at, you know, the number of housing starts and the average length of time that the average home is sitting on the market, you know, for the last year and a half, 2 years, it's been the average home would sit for 10 to 12 months on the market. You know, that's steadily reducing now. The most recent data was it's at 8 months now. So when you look at the bottom line, so much of it's psychological. And when you look at the stock market, you know, back up over 8,000, and it's been rallying and rallying, and you see rates where they have been and all the programs that we talked about today and what the government's doing, it shows you that, you know, when rates are easing back up, there's enough of a easing on Wall Street and the government to say, you know, there's a steady recovery. You know, unemployment numbers came out today and they were better than expected already this morning. So there's a lot of true good signs to point to.
That's exciting.
Yeah. I get a lot of optimistic people in here.
I know. I love to end the show on a positive note. Steve, thanks so much for being with us today. How can folks reach you?
You can call our 800 number at 866-460-ADHL. That's 2345. 866-460-2345. Or our website's americasdiscounthomeloans.com.
And that's Americas with an S, right?
Yes. No apostrophe.
I learned so much today.
I know. You're much smarter now.
I know one thing for sure. I'm going to sign up for my HSA rewards today and get my card so I can start getting money into my HSA account for just my everyday spending.
And refinance?
I don't know. That's my husband's area, but I definitely learned enough to have an intelligent conversation
with
him. There
you go. Well, you learned enough to hand Steve's card to your husband.
Right. And even though my kids are no longer in the early childhood education portion, gosh, Sunbrook sounds fabulous. I have to shed and spread the word to all my friends. Thanks so much for listening this week, and we hope you tune in again next week. I'm Amy Otto for the Atlanta Business Radio Show. Have a great week.